Last weekend, Chuck Pierce had a prophetic word that required action. He said that this next week, actually 10 days, the night watch called the fourth watch of the night is going to be very important for shaping what the Lord does in the United States. That's the watch from 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. So starting Monday last week, they began webcasting their three-hour prayer watches. And every night people came in from 3 to 6, and they had a powerful time of revelation. And people around the country joined in. Some of you may have also joined in. For those of you who don't remember, that used to be my watch. From 3:15 in the morning till 6:15 in the morning, I used to pray and seek the Lord. All this week, he woke Mary Beth up this morning at 4. He woke me up at 3:45. All this week, the Lord's been waking me up in that 3 to 6 a.m. time that we might enter into prayer. So what I want to speak with you about this morning is the timing of prayer and night watch prayer, to let you know what we've been doing in the region for over a decade and what you can do if he wakes you up in one of these watches. How many of you have ever been in love? You can raise your hand. Oh, come on. You've never been in love? I know you two are. If you're engaged, you better be in love. Let me ask you a question. Do you talk with your beloved?
Yes.
Have these little intimate conversations. I have at least 4 conversations a day with Casey, and then I have a couple on paper. I've even figured out when I go to Honduras tomorrow how I can speak with her live, because I bought a Skype to landline account. So I can Skype her from a place where I can't use my phone and I can talk to her. Was there ever enough time for you to enjoy your beloved's presence? Did you ever have enough time when you got into that intimate conversation that you just wanted it to last forever? Did you ever want to lavish your beloved with gifts and words that expressed the passion that you felt for them? I'm talking about romance. See, conversation is the heartbeat of a relationship. If you don't have conversation, your heart has stopped. Relationship is the foundation of authority. And authority is the essence of dominion. How many of you love Jesus?
Yes.
Okay, we're going to have an altar call at the end of the service. Even when the Buffalo Bills are losing, there's more yelling and screaming going on than that. Usually it's at the team, but not for the team. When was the last time you allowed Jesus to begin to rule through your life? See, he does that through a conversation called prayer. Surveys of the International Church have found that the two biggest flaws with the church in the United States are she does not pray and she does not honor the Lord with her giving. We've talked about the giving side before, that less than 2% of the church in the United States tithes, and that if the church and the United States just tithed, there would be $48 billion more a year for the work of the ministry of the gospel in the nations. In other words, because she hasn't got that relationship in prayer and she isn't honoring him with the gifts that he's given her, she has no dominion because she has no authority because she has no relationship. See, it all starts in your intimate conversations with God. So I'm going to digress for a few minutes and discuss what it means to be watching in prayer. In the Bible, there are 3 mindsets. The first is the barbarian mindset. We sort of prayed against that one in communion today. The barbarian mindset is conquer and fear. So you see that all the time in the Old Testament, where the nations used to come in and just ravage and pillage and steal, and they would just wreak havoc and fear upon the Israelis. The second is the Greek mindset, which is a mindset based on knowledge. It's a mindset that permeated even the church 500 years before Christ through the teaching of Gnosticism, and it's prevalent in the church today. We've talked about that before. And the third mindset is the Hebrew mindset, which is faith-based, that we believe, like the two spies, that God is bigger than any of our enemies, and he can do everything he has spoken to us, just like that testimony we read from New Jersey this morning, that they believed the word that they got, they went out and they prayed, and we believe it was because of their prayers and everybody else around the world that joined them. And by the way, I was getting emails from all over the world from people that we minister with. How are you on your end of the state? We're praying for you. We're praying for New York City. I believe it was those prayers of a Hebrew mindset of faith that caused that storm not to do what all of the scientists said it was going to do. I mean, I've seen some pictures, and there's some new inlets on the East Coast. If you've seen some of the aerial photos, there are new inlets across peninsulas. It's like, I was talking the other day, if you go down Edgemere Drive, it's like a section of Edgemere Drive was wiped out and it now is connecting with Cranberry Pond directly. That's what's happened down on the East Coast. It don't look the same no more. See, the victory of Jesus is our way for salvation and deliverance from the barbarian mindset. We don't have to be in fear any longer, and that's what communion was about this morning, that if we embrace his love, fear can't touch us. Jesus also provided freedom from the prideful Greek mindset. Being German, I have to be very careful not to fall into that Greek mindset of pride. When you accept the victory of Jesus Christ over the Greek mindset, you can forbid it from speaking inferiority, doubt, and unbelief into your mind. That's what that mindset does. It will put someone down so that they look better. Jesus did this so that you can see yourself seated with him in heavenly places, far above every principality and every problem that confronts us. If we're seated with him, we see from his perspective, and we can begin to bring heaven's solutions to play in the earth. That's part of what I saw when I was prophesying over Mary Beth this morning, is she's going to be one of those vessels that sees heaven's solution and begins to implement them in the earth. So that's a quick summation of the Hebrew mindset, that we can do all things by faith in Christ who strengthens us. So now let me give you just a quick overview of time. We've done this before. The Greek understanding of time is that it's linear, that it's just going to go along like this. And as they say in the musical, sunrise, sunset, as you have grandchildren, swiftly go the years. Enjoy the time with your kids, moms and dads, because all too soon you're going to be enjoying the time with your grandkids. And then I'm looking forward to the great grandkids. Lord, give me strength. Well, as you heard, Sam and Lily called me and said, we're going to have a baby brother. Sam's a bruiser. I can imagine two on one against Grandpa. I'm going to need strength next year. See, the Hebraic understanding of time is that it's cyclical, that it goes around. And we see all of those cycles in the Bible. There's a 24-hour cycle. There's a seven-day cycle in which we're supposed to take a rest. There's a 28-day cycle called their months, and we talk about that so we can understand time from heaven's perspective. There's one-year cycle, there's 10-year cycles, there's 20-year cycles, there's 40-year cycles, there's 100-year cycles, there's 400-year cycles. I mean, even the weathermen are starting to talk about now it's the 100-year storm because they've had records for 140 years. Now they can start talking about stuff like that. Or it's the storm of all storms. Sometimes I think they tell us that just to get us all hyped up. Actually, I think they did all of that to keep our minds off of what we should have been doing, and that was praying. See, in order to pray effectively, you have to have an understanding of time from Father's perspective. If you want to pray to the wall, if you want to pray to the moon, if you want to pray to some little statue, go ahead. Paul called them no gods. They probably won't answer. But if you want to pray to the living God who created all things, then we need to understand time from his perspective so that we align ourselves with our timing, just like Jesus did when he walked the earth. When Jesus aligned himself with Father's timing, signs, wonders, and miracles accompanied him. I'm going to skip over a discussion of the season we're in because we've already done that. But what does time have to do with prayer? What did Jesus say his Father's house would be?
A house of prayer.
A house of prayer for all nations. In Matthew 21:13, he said to them, "It has been written, my house will be called a house of prayer." And then he goes on to tell them, "But you are making it into a den of robbers." Let me ask you a question. Are you a temple for the Holy Spirit? Well, some of you are. I'm glad we'll pray with the rest of you at the end of the service. See, if you are his temple, you are his dwelling place. Isn't that what John told us in John chapter 1, that he came, and it's some translations, the modern ones say that he dwelt among us, but it literally says in the Greek that he tabernacled. He built his tent in us so that he could walk with us. See, you're his dwelling place, especially in these years where he's watching over his house. He's watching over his inheritance. This year of Ayin Gimel we are in is a year of generations. It's a year of bridging from the past into the future and the promise that he has for us. So let's look again so we can see how we might pray when Holy Spirit calls us to converse with him. You know, he doesn't always call us in the time you set up. I'm going to pray from 7:15 to 7:25 in the morning, then I'll brush my teeth, eat my toast, or vice versa, and go out to work. He doesn't always do it when it's convenient. Remember I told you that he woke me up at 1:11 in the morning every day during my fast? That wasn't very convenient for me, but I enjoyed his presence. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 5, God called the light day and the darkness he called night, so there was evening and there was morning one day. In Genesis 1, 8, he says, so there was evening and there was morning a second day. In Genesis 1, 13, he says, there was evening and there was morning a third day. Do you get the pattern? From Father's perspective, the day starts in the evening. In our Western mindset, we've changed that. But from the beginning of his word to the end, his mindset is time starts when he created light out of darkness. Father says that the new day begins at sunset, and intimacy with Father only comes when we enter into his Hebraic mindset. He created the Hebraic language. We didn't. On an aside, the third day is my favorite day. There's a whole bunch of things in the Bible. There's teaching upon teaching that you can get out of the third day. On the third day, who rose again? So you look at all the third day things that happen in Scripture, it's an amazing study. See, we are now living according to God's time in the third day of Christ's resurrection. The day in the life of the Lord is as 1,000 years. 1,000 years is as a day for the Lord. Old Testament and New Testament, Psalms and Peter. We are in, as of 2001, we are now in that third 1,000-year period. We're in that third day. People believe he's coming in this day. I believe he's coming in this day. Unfortunately, for many of us, that day could be 1,000 years long. I am not going to try and predict when he's coming, because I don't want to have to write a new book every year on 29 reasons why he didn't come in 2013. So if the day begins at sunset, how do we use this to understand praying more effectively? So we're going to look at the four prayer watches that are seen in the New Testament and throughout the Bible. The first watch is called the evening watch. It's from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. During the evening watch, we regroup. Guess what? For the next few months, on Saturday evenings, we will be meeting during that evening watch. It's a time we need to still ourselves from the world. Psalm 46:10 says, "Desist and learn that I am God, supreme over the nations, supreme over the earth." I'm reading from the Complete Jerusalem Bible today. We must take time before we try to sleep. I had a very, very unusually busy day yesterday. And I did go to bed before midnight on the old clock. Usually I try to cheat in that hour and get even more done. But I had to get up and I had to pray because I had so much on my mind that I could not go to sleep because I was carrying a burden that was not mine to carry. Doesn't the scripture say that we are to cast our cares upon the Lord because he cares for us? So we should take time before we try to sleep to quiet our hearts before the Lord. This evening watch is a time for meditation. Try to find at least 30 minutes where you can meditate on the word of the Lord before going to bed. Don't meditate on the sports. Don't meditate on the knitting. Don't meditate on things that are going to be consumed, but meditate on the word of the Lord that will carry you through. Then out of your meditation, try to find 30 minutes of prayer time to release your anxieties to the Lord. See, this becomes important if you are one who wants to hear from the Lord in dreams. How many of you have had pizza dreams? They're no fun. How many of you would rather have Holy Spirit dreams? So if we prepare ourselves for Holy Spirit to speak to us, then he will. In Genesis 24:63, we've seen this scripture a few times in the last few weeks because it is an Ayin Gimel scripture. And Isaac went out to meditate and bow down in prayer in the open country in the evening. And he looked up and he saw, behold, the camels were coming. In the place of meditation and prayer, Isaac saw not only his provision, but his destiny. And I believe you've heard Pastor Lisa speak on this a couple weeks ago. But out of that place of meditation and prayer, the Lord brought not just his provision, but he brought forth the destiny and the path to you and I to come to right relationship with him because he was in the lineage of Christ. When we meditate, we begin to get focused on God's covenant plan. How many of you know that his thoughts are higher than your thoughts? Yes. I'll take his way every day. That's why his name is Yahweh. He has his way, not my way. Joshua 1:8 says, "Yes, keep the book of the Torah on your lips and meditate on it day and night so that you will take care to act according to everything written in it. Then your undertakings will prosper and you will succeed." See, when we begin to meditate day and night on the words of his mouth, we can be assured of success. I'm not going to go into it, but many of you have heard my testimony, how I would rehearse his word and the Lord would bring it to pass in business meetings or in strategy meetings or in things I needed to do in the lab. His word would come to pass and I could walk into the success of that. See, he's not limited to Sunday mornings. He's not limited to anything because your career was already thought of before he knit you together in your mother's womb. The evening watch is a time to focus so that you can start your day with a mentality of success. Let Holy Spirit use the evening watch to purge you of the anxieties that would keep you from advancing into God's perfect plan. This is the watch in which Jesus will also pull aside to find his quiet place. If you remember, it said that he got away in a quiet place. He went away at night in the evening to a quiet place. Try to do this before you go to bed each night. Like I said, we've been teaching this around the region for 10 years. And I believe because of the prophetic words that came forth last weekend, it's very important for us. It's very important for us because of the exhortation that the Lord gave Marie a couple weeks ago that we got comfortable in this place and we stopped contending for the vision that he had. And so when the Lord wakes you up in the middle of the night now, you will know what you're supposed to do in those watches. Hopefully you're not asleep from 6 to 9. If you are, fine. but take time to meditate. The second watch is called the midnight watch. It's from the hours of 9 p.m. to midnight. In Psalm 119, verse 62, it says, "At midnight I will rise to give you thanks because of your righteous rulings." This watch from 9 to midnight is a time for thanksgiving. Do you know that the church in the United States of America has abandoned the night to darkness? Most church services, if they have evening or midweek services, end at 9 o'clock. They close the doors, they lock them, and then everything breaks loose over our nation because the church doesn't pray. In Africa, they have 24/7 prayer. In Asia, they have 24/7 prayer. In the United States, yes, we do have some 24/7 prayer, but it's sporadic. This is a time for visitation. How many of you want to be visited by the Lord?
Yes.
That is my desire. This is a time when the Lord begins to prepare you to receive many acts of change in the earth. You know, he doesn't do anything without first revealing it to his servants, the prophets. He also reveals it to his sons and his daughters who carry the spirit of prophecy, which is the testimony of Jesus. How many of you are born again? You have the testimony of Jesus, therefore you have the spirit of prophecy. He wants to reveal to you the things about change, just like he did a decade before the storm, and just like he did 3 months before the storm. He revealed to the prophets that this storm was indeed coming. We can do one of two things when he reveals something to us in prayer. We can believe it and pray so that it is not a catastrophe. We can stand against it, so that it doesn't happen at all. See, if I'm intimate with him, I know what he wants us to do. Or we can ignore it, like the 10 spies who thought God was not big enough to do what he said he was going to do, and then watch the calamity strike. The midnight watch begins at 9 p.m. and goes to the middle of the night, specifically 12 o'clock. The word midnight is used symbolically to represent the period and time of intense darkness and extended gloom. That's what the writers meant for it to reflect. Many times we try to sleep during this hour because sleep escapes us because of our anxiety. We try to force ourselves, like I was doing last night, to go to sleep until I got up and prayed and then went back to bed. Then he woke me up at 3:45. Many times we try to sleep. Be sure that you remember the power that you have during this watch.
Right.
It's a time of visitation. It's a time of angelic presence. The midnight watch is also a time when God is dealing with our enemies. I'm not talking about flesh and blood. I'm talking about spiritual enemies. The enemies that are trying to keep us from entering his perfect plan for our lives. It was at the midnight hour, we see in Exodus 11:4 and Exodus 12:29, it was at the midnight hour that he struck the firstborn because they worshiped the firstborn. One way to interpret the Hebrew words in Psalm 119:62 that I read earlier refers to this as the half of the night watch. You've made it halfway through the night. Sometimes you wake up at midnight and you think, Lord, am I going to make it through the night? Have you ever done that? Mm-hmm. Had such a restless night, you finally fell asleep and you woke up around midnight and you said, oh God, am I going to make it? I've been there. I know what it's like. I used to have this job where things went boom in the night. Those were called my reactions. I remember praying to him at all hours of the night. See, in this watch, we're to praise him. As we praise him, we can watch his peace settle over us. I had a powerful time of singing in the spirit the other day in the dark. And then the Lord gave me the interpretation so that I could know what I was singing. It was a powerful song of who he was. And when I got done, there was such a peace. Casey asked me right when I was taking her to the airport, how many of you know you can get stressed in life? She said, how are you doing? I said, I'm doing fine. It's going to be 3 weeks before we see each other. Actually, it's going to be 3 weeks and 10 hours, but who's counting? And she said, no, I mean about the building. And I said, I really have a peace that before I go to Honduras, the Lord is going to show us where we're going so that that will not be something the enemy can bug me on. He may bug you about it, but I've got a peace about it. In the period just before the exile at midnight, and midnight doesn't have to be accurately determined, was it 11:59 or 12:06? In that period just before the exile, God brought judgment on the enemies that were keeping his children from the fulfillment of the promise that he had for them. The division of the night back in the Old Testament was into three watches, and the middle watch of those three included the midnight hour. In the New Testament, because of the Roman influence, the night watch has four divisions, and that's what we're talking about today. And midnight pretty much divided the night in half. So we had the first watch, and we have the second watch. Remember in your prayers, if Holy Spirit wakes you up in this watch, that midnight at many times is the defining point. Ask him what it is that he's showing you, because he's woken you at a time of defining. Sometimes he will show you a strategy to get around or go through or defeat your enemy. Like with David, do I go up against them? Yes. The second time, do I go up against them? No. Wait until you hear the sound of rustling in the mulberry tree. So listen for him at that time. The third watch is called the beginning of a day, or the cock crowing watch. It's from midnight to 3 a.m. What you entered into in this second watch was the beginning of a time of warfare. The most intense spiritual warfare is between midnight and 3 a.m. It is the hour when there are full moons, when there is a requirement for Satan worshipers to do blood sacrifices, including human sacrifice. I don't know what the number is today, but when I first started studying this 15 years ago, there were 50,000 missing children in the United States every year that have never been found. I believe that some of them met their demise in this watch because we abandoned it to darkness. Many times when we're awakened from midnight to three, it's because of a dream that God has given us. Remember I told you 1:11? I write down the time when I awake and I have a dream, because sometimes it is a scripture. So I'm going through and I'm meditating on every 1:11 and 11:1 scripture in the Bible. There's quite a teaching in that alone. I remember when he woke me up at 3:16, and then the youth group named themselves Gen 3:16, and I gave this list of 3:16 scriptures to Josh, and I said, this is a powerful teaching. And he looked at it and he goes, wow, it's amazing what the 3:16 scriptures are. 1 John 3:16 was one I read this morning. It's powerful. Most of us equate this watch with Peter's trial that led him to deny his relationship with the Lord. If you're having trouble with doubt, unbelief, and even the direction of the path the Lord has for you, then perhaps you should try doing a 21-day third watch of the night prayer time with the Lord. Get with him for 21 days where you purpose to wake up and meet with him and war through to get to him from 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. or for 1 hour. So maybe tonight you do it 3 to 4, tomorrow you do it 4 to 5, the next night you do it 5 to 6, and stay up and go to work. You know, you can go back to bed when you're done with your hour. Yeah. Jesus said, would you not watch and pray with me for 1 hour? It was hard. Jeremy can remember these days when we used to do these around the region, and we'd do them from 7 o'clock at night to 6 in the morning. You want to do breakfast, dude? I don't know. I think I just want to sleep. Why 21 days? Because that's the length of time that it took Daniel to break through in prayer. If someone as mighty in prayer as Daniel, that the Lord mentions as a powerful intercessor, took 21 days to get victory over a principality, so that that principality would let go of the revelation that God had for him and for the Hebrew slaves that were now enslaved in Babylon, then I think 21 days is a good time for us to pursue the Lord too. See, we need to understand the power of the cock crowing watch. See, the habit of the cock in the east is crowing at night at regular times. It gave rise to the expression that we see in each of the Gospels, the cock crowing. In Matthew 13:36, the Romans called this the last watch of the night. This watch could also be equated with the break of day. This occurred about 3 o'clock in what was known then as the Galilean. The Hebrews designated the cock crowing watch with words that signified the singing of the cock. The male rooster is now going to sing. Sometimes we want to wring its neck. I remember my first trip to Guatemala, the neighbors of the house that I was staying in, before the sun came up, every morning the cock would crow loudly. I wondered if one morning we had him for breakfast, because the next morning we didn't hear him. Among the Hebrews, we find no mention of the flight of hours of the night except for the cock crowing hour. It's the only time in Hebrews writing that we see it. Cock crowing was an indefinite hour of the night between midnight and morning. We see it in Mark 13:35. It's referred to by all of the evangelists in their account of Peter's denial in Matthew 23:34 and 74, Mark 14:30, Luke 22:34, and John 13:38. Every one of them said that Peter denied Jesus at the cock crowing hour in the third watch of the night. The crowing of the rooster reminded Peter himself how easy it is to deny Christ. In this watch, be sure that you do not deny the Lord when he calls you. He has grace to forgive us. Powerful things happen in the third watch of the night when you get up to pray. I'm going to give you two examples. I can give you many examples, but here's two examples of when regionally we gathered for prayer. Do you remember when the convict escaped in Buffalo and he was hiding and they couldn't find him and he was killing people and all kinds of stuff were going on? Well, we happened to be doing a night watch prayer that Friday night. And someone said, you know, we need to pray about this. So in that third watch, we began worshiping. I don't know if you were there for that one or not. And the worship was very intense. And someone came up and said, I see him. And we just declared that he would be revealed. Do you know that the occult means hidden? And he was using the occult to keep himself hidden. They found him the next day in the middle of a golf course. How much more revealed can you get than that? In June of 2008, during worship in the third watch of the night, one of the intercessors came in and said, I keep hearing while we're worshiping, it was a powerful time of worship, that the New York City airports are coming under terrorist attack. I think you two may have been there for that one. And so we began making declarations and decrees about these things being revealed. The next day, the headlines in the New York papers for June 8, 2008 Sunday paper said authorities thwart terrorist plot at JFK. Because someone heard something coming in the night watch and enough of us were foolish enough to be there and make that declaration, the Lord pulled back the things that had hidden that terrorist plot. See, if Holy Spirit wakes you in this watch, be willing to war. The war may be 10 minutes and you go back to bed. The war may be 3 hours and you can't get back to bed. But war until the burden has lifted. When the burden lifts, it's not yours anymore. It's his. So in the third watch, if he calls you and he wakes you up, know that he's probably calling you to a time of war. That's what's been going on in Texas and other places for the last 8 days for us in the East, from 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. The fourth watch, the morning watch, it's also called a new day dawning. This was my watch from 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. I'm sorry, this is what's going on right now. See, this is the watch where you get to set the course for the new day. How many of you know anything about Islam in the Muslim religion? Do you know that there are 24 5 a.m.s around the earth? And that perpetually at 5 a.m., someone is calling out to their no god with chants, incantations, and setting the order of a demonic day over the earth. If you've ever been to Detroit or any other Islamic nation, you can hear it. They broadcast it. Did you hear what I just said about Detroit? We need to take back that city. And the church is starting to rise up. I have nothing against the sons of Ishmael. They are coming to Christ, just as the sons of Isaac are, just as you and I have. But when someone starts taking my nation in no God worship, Allah is no God. He is one of the 2,000 gods that were worshipped in Ur of the Chaldees, the place where Abraham was called out of. God has also called you out of idolatry into a place of intimacy with Christ. In this watch, we get to undo what they did and speak his word into the heavens. This watch is linked with the approaching of the morning light and the breaking of a new day. In Job 7, verse 4, this watch is called daybreak. In Psalm 119, verse 147, this watch is called dawn. In Job 17, verse 12, the Amplified Bible says, "But they try to turn my night into day, saying, 'Light is near in the face of darkness.'" In Judges 19, 26, this watch is called the approaching of the morning. In Job 3:9 and Job 41:18, it's called the eyelids of the morning. Sort of sounds like me trying to get up in the morning. In Matthew 28:1, we read, "As the next day was dawning," that's when they went out to the tomb to find that Jesus had risen. In Luke 24:1, it says, "But the next day, while it was still very early." There are many references to prayer in this watch. The fourth watch is the last portion of the night, so we always need to be ready to arise. If he wakes you up at 6, you're at the very end of that watch. You can still do the things that are there. Don't let the time defeat you. Let me tell you a little bit about something, about God's grace in this. Just because the hands on the clock move doesn't mean that God doesn't want to hear your voice. Yes. But be aware that when you first wake up, there are certain things that you can do, including commanding your morning and ordering your day to come into alignment with heaven's plan and purpose for your life. Generally, the word that's used for this watch refers to the day and means the hour of dawn or soon after. We see this in Genesis 19:2, Hosea 6:4, and Luke 24:22. So ask the Lord to meet you early so that you can be prepared for the day ahead. Martin Luther used to have a habit of getting up and praying for 3 hours. And someone saw him one day and he said he had a very busy schedule the next day. And he said, "What are you going to do?" He said, "I'm going to get up 2 hours earlier and pray more." So that he was prepared for everything that was going to come. And when the Holy Spirit spoke to him throughout the day, he could walk in it. See, this watch is particularly important because it is the watch in which you allow Father to speak through you his word to order your day. How many of you need doors open? Some of you need gates open so you can see the doors that need to be open. But there are words in Scripture that command those gates to rise up. "Lift up your head, O ye gates, that the King of glory may come in." So you can begin to declare His word and command His word over the morning. I usually start my morning at that time by breaking what I call the D's. The things of darkness, destruction, despair, disillusionment, discouragement, hope deferred, destiny delayed, all of the D's. Because that's what the no-God worshipers are releasing on us while we sleep. So that we wake up with a burden that's not ours. We wake up with a mantle that didn't come from God. It's called heaviness and despair. And then I begin to decree, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And I decree the scriptures that the Holy Spirit gives me over that. See, we are in the day now of longing fulfilled. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. The second half of the verse is longing fulfilled is a tree of life. You are a tree of life. You are the extension of the Son of Glory in the earth. In this watch, speak His word over your day to set the course for you to move in grace and authority throughout that day. I did this all the time in the workplace. If I knew what my meetings were, yes, I had unexpected meetings come up, I spoke the word of the Lord over them. When I walked into the meeting room, Holy Spirit would often remind me the thing that I spoke, and I would speak it again over the meeting room when I walked into it. Conclusion, you may get home for the first football game. No Father's timing. It's not cookbook. It's not a formula. It's an intimate relationship with Him. When He calls you in one of these night watches, and He'll speak to you throughout the day, but usually the church shuts down from 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. and forgets that He wants us to rule and reign with Him. Allow Him to speak to you in greater levels of intimacy. Allow Him in that relationship of intimacy to give you authority so that when He says, I need this to be done, you can be the vessel of signs, wonders, and miracles. Amen? Amen. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank You that You have called us to a relationship, intimacy with You. Lord, not based on ritual, not based on rote, not based on memorization of a few passages of Scripture, but based on humbling ourselves before You, even as You humbled Yourself and took the cross. Lord, we ask that You would show us that love is the foundation and the essence of this relationship, that You would give us intimacy in our relationship with You, Lord. That You would show us how to converse with You, Lord, how to listen for Your voice, and that You would make our hearts pliable, that we would be quick to respond and walk in obedience. Lord, I thank You that You are raising up a mighty army in the earth. I thank You, Lord, that You are raising up men and women of all ages, from birth to octogenarians, Lord, to stand. Lord, that the centurions will begin to stand. Lord, that those who have known You for 100 years will stand as though they've known You for one day with an intimacy of a fresh relationship with You. Lord, renew our first love, that we would pursue You with persistence, and that in this persistence we would find Your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. I love you all. Have a blessed week.